Wow, what an honor to be with you guys. We love this place, and as a church, we have several alumni working with us and ministering at the church. And I tell you, if I lived within an hour of this church, this would be my home church. You hear that, brother? This would be my home church. And so for those of you that are part of this community, you made a great choice. Just even seeing the kids, and so many kids. And wow, I'm going to love this place even more after today. So it's an honor. Go ahead and get your Bibles out and open to Luke chapter 15. I think that after today, Luke chapter 15 will forever be different for you after this message. I pray that that happens. You will remember this chapter and you'll look at it differently for the rest of your life. Luke chapter 15 is basically three stories that Jesus shares, three parables. And we know these parables very much because they're very commonly spoken about, but many times we preach about them separately. Yet Jesus doesn't share them separately. Jesus shares them together in response to what he saw. So read with me verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawn near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Like, what does he have to do with sinners? Now, Jesus understood the power of the story, and so he used a lot of stories in his preaching. And when he heard and he saw the heart of these Pharisees and scribes towards the sinners, he says, you know what? I need to share some stories to change their view at sinners. And he begins to paint stories and to paint sinners as if they are something personal to God that he's lost in a way. He starts speaking about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a prodigal son, and trying to say, wait, see, that which you grumbled about for the Father, that's something that's his, that he's lost. Remember, not too long ago, we have four kids as a family. We love kids, and I decided one day to give my wife a little break and take the kids grocery shopping. Well, to give her some time to read and study. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm a good man. And my kids, you know, they're young. They're all under 10. And so I put them in the car. We go grocery shopping. And I'm getting all these looks and all these stares. And like, are all these kids yours? And where's your wife? And I did the shopping. I get back into the car. I put them in the car. And I buckle them in. You know, that's a lot of work. And I sit down to drive, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I feel the pocket where my wallet's supposed to be, and I don't feel it there. Like, where's my wallet? I don't feel it. Look around, and it's not there. And all of a sudden I remember, as I was putting all my kids into the car, I put it on top of the car, and I probably didn't get it. So I call my wife and say, honey, I'm sorry. Your break's going to be cut short. You need to get the kids. I need to run back to the store. And I called the store and I said, listen, I forgot a wallet. Did anybody turn anything in? And I said, nope, I'm sorry. We didn't hear anything. And so dropped off the kids. I drive fast back to the store and I run to the parking lot where I parked. And I looked underneath the cars and I'm not seeing it. I run inside the store and I'm asking them, did anybody turn anything in? They said, no. And I run back outside. I'm crawling in the parking lot. The people think I'm weird. Like, what are you doing? Crawling in the parking lot. I lost my wallet. And again, I didn't have much money in there. I'm a pastor. But, you know, waiting in the Department of Licensing for a new license, that's like 5 hours, right? That's a lot of loss of time. And all calling all the banks and all that. And I'm so discouraged. And after crawling through the parking lots, I'm walking around and I'm just like praying. And there's a big street, like a four-way, one, you know, just four lanes, one way, kind of little highway right next to the store. And I just kind of look at the road, and all of a sudden, I see my wallet and everything that was in it spread all over a couple of the lanes. So apparently when I started driving, that's when it fell. And I stop the traffic and I find my cards and they're all damaged. They're not useful, but it's mine. And I found it. I was so happy. You know, Jesus begins to share these stories to say, Pharisees, you're grumbling about these sinners, but to me, it's like finding a lost sheep. To me, it's like finding a lost coin. To me, it's like a prodigal son coming back. They're valuable to me. And whether it's one out of 100 sheep, or one out of 10 coins, or one out of 2 children, every one of them is valuable to me. You know what's interesting in this, in these 3 parables? Every one of them, you know what they end with? Every one of them end with the festival. Every one of them end with the party. When the sheep was found, there was a party. When the coin was found, there was a party. When the prodigal son came back, there was a party. And Jesus wanted to paint to these scribes and Pharisees the heart of a father who loves his children, the heart of a father that cares for his own. There's a story about one man, he had a sheep, and he was digging a well behind his house, and the sheep at night was walking around and fell into that hole. And the next day he woke up and looking for the sheep, and all of a sudden he heard the noise coming out of that hole, and all the neighbors heard it, and all the neighbors kind of got together and they began to look down, and you know, some were like, oh, what a poor sheep, well, it's just gonna die over there. And another one's like, what a bad sheep, didn't you see, it's the, you know, it's a well, and why did it fall there? Now we can't have a well there, and now we just got to do so much work. And people were just kind of, another one's like, hey, let's just take some stones and kill it faster. And when the homeowner came out, like, oh, that's my sheep. I need to get it out. He finds some rope and he ties himself to a tree and he lower himself and he grabs on and pulls it out. Why? It's his. You see, when something's not yours, you're willing to get rocks and throw at it. But when it's yours and you've lost it and it's lost, or you know, it should belong to you, you have a different heart for it. And so Jesus is sharing these 3 stories to, first and foremost, to show them the heart of a father towards the lost. But the second purpose that I think why he's sharing these 3 stories is he wants to show them that in Lebanon County, there's 3 different types of sinners. They're different, and they're all reached differently. But you got to go after each and every one of them. Now, I do think that probably in Lebanon County, there are only 3 sinners. The peace of God is over this county. I'm just joking. It really does feel like the peace of God is over this community and this campus. But my message is the 3 sinners of Lebanon County, or Pennsylvania, or New York, or the city that you're from. There's 3 sinners. They're different, and they're reached differently. And as a church, we got to use all 3 methods and approaches. Let's look at the first story. The first story is that of a lost sheep. Bible says that, let's read this. So he told him a parable. What a man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and they have a festival. So the first lost person of Lebanon County is someone like a lost sheep. Lost sheep, their sheep are an interesting animal, right? They follow one or two things. They either follow the voice of the shepherd, or they follow their taste buds. And sheep, sometimes they start following their taste buds and they go and go, and all of a sudden they pick up their head and, oh, look, where am I? And they get lost. So sheep are not like the rebellious type. I hate you, shepherd. I'm just gonna rebel against you and run away from you. That's not sheep. Sheep are these types of animals that they just get carried away. Sometimes unknowingly, sometimes unplanned, out of curiosity, out of a lack of knowledge. And Jesus is saying one type of sinners, those that get lost, somehow just accidentally, somehow, they hear some kind of misconception about God. They hear some kind of misconception about the Old Testament. They hear a misconception about the character of God. Oh, the Bible's been changed. Oh, really? The Bible's been changed? And all of a sudden, like the sheep, they get carried away with this idea that the Bible's been changed. Or, they hear the Bible has mistakes. Oh, really? The Bible has mistakes? And they just get carried away by this idea that has been changed. And when they find themselves lost, they're like, oh, man, how did I get here? So Satan oftentimes paints a faulty picture, and we get drawn away by it. He entices us by sin, by lust, by pride, by money, by whatever it is. And we like these sheep. We just follow. I read a news article about some sheep in Turkey that shepherds decided to have lunch, and 14,000, I have it in my notes somewhere, several hundred sheep were pastured, being pastured. And all of a sudden, one of the sheep decided to run towards the cliff and jumped off. And all the other sheep, they followed. So the news article said it was a $14,000 loss in revenue for that shepherd. I mean, just what a loss when all these sheep, they just all of a sudden followed and jumped to their death because the first sheep did it. So there's some sinners, one types of sinners, they're not rebellious. They just get carried away. And so there are sinners like the lost sheep who don't understand much about sin, but they get lost. And Jesus says, do you know how do you reach those lost sheep? You got to leave everything behind and you got to go find it. You got to leave behind the 99 and you got to go fishing. I'm going to grab a fishing pole here. So Jesus says, one of the three sinners, they get caught or brought back when you go fishing. How many of you guys like fishing here? All right, when you go fishing, every type of fish needs different kinds of baits, right? Some fish need some, I'm not a fisherman, but I know that different types of fish need different types of baits. I do know that, right? And so if you know you're going for trout, well, you gotta take the bait to reach trout. If you're gonna go for salmon, you gotta get the type of bait. And so there's those lost sheep that, for some, you're gonna need apologetics. You're gonna need a Ravi Zacharias. You're gonna need some Professor Nick, Pastor Nick, teaching some apologetics to him. Some sheep, you're gonna need, the prophetic. Thus says the Lord, repent or you will fry in hell. Oh my goodness, I'm coming back. You need it. You gotta get him with the fear of the Lord. It's like, if you don't repent, you get him with that bait. Some sinners, you need them with the love. I love you. Can I just give you a hug? We so miss you. Oh, really? I'm coming back. I'm loved there. Different sheep, they get lost and they reach differently. And so as a church, we need some good evangelists that go out fishing for the lost sheep. Right? We need some good evangelists to learn how to catch the lost sheep, how to find them. Now, some people think all we need is apologetics. No, apologetics is good, right? We need the prophetic. Some people are like, well, so different types of sheep are going to be reached by even different types of churches. That's why we need all kinds of churches, right? This approach like, oh, our church is the only church. No. It's like God uses all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. And praise God for the churches that sing worship in this way. And praise God for the churches that sing worship a little bit differently. We thank God for all kinds of churches, but because it's just different types of baits going after reaching the lost sheep. So the first lost person of Lebanon County is a lost sheep. You got to drop everything, find them, fish for them, and bring them back. Then Jesus says there's a second type of sinner. And they're reached differently. So the second parable Jesus says about the lost coin. Listen to this. So there's a woman having 10 silver coins, and she lost one of them. And the Bible says, which one, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she throws a festival. Now, the second type of this lost coin was not lost because the coin wanted to get lost. It wasn't like the coin said, you know what, I want to get lost today. You know why this coin got lost? Because this woman was messy. She didn't put things in the right place. She was living in disorder. She was living in a messy house. She misplaced this coin. And so how did she find this coin? Well, the lost coins, they get found when we get a broomstick and we start cleaning our house. We start cleaning our attitude. We start bringing our house into order. We start bringing our character into order. We apologize for a wrongful attitude. We apologize for some of the things that we've spoken against the church. Many times, you know, in the Christian homes, we're grumbling, oh, the pastor is bad, and the pastor is this, and the pastor is that. And they're like, kids, let's go to the church and listen to the pastor. It's like, hey, all week you've been saying all these negative things about the pastor. Now you want me to listen to them? It's like, no, I'm not going to listen to him. So the second types of sinners are those that get lost because of the hypocrisy they see, because of disorder they see in our homes. And what needs to happen is there needs to be some cleanup. And all of a sudden, they'll get discovered again. All of a sudden, when they see the humbleness and humility in the parents' hearts, they're like, hey, I want this Jesus. Like, I want to go to church. I want to share a story about my father. I have a godly father. And, you know, when we moved to America, many times immigrants, they go through a season when, you know, you have nothing. You came to America with just a couple bags, and you got to work a lot. And that was a season for my dad. He wanted us to have an easier life, and so he worked a lot. He went to ESL classes, English, you know, language classes, and he worked several jobs, and he was absent. He was not home many times. He was a godly man, but he worked hard. And I have two older brothers, and, you know, kind of growing up in a season when dad was always gone, working morning shift, night shift, you know, and all the time. And it was about a 2-3 week period when they found some new friends. And instead of coming home around 9 o'clock, you know, or 8 o'clock, they're coming home at 12, at 1, at 2. And all of a sudden, we kind of heard the news that my brothers, my two older brothers, were, you know, hanging out outside of our apartment complex with some other guys, trying some substances, right? And when my dad heard that, he got a broomstick. And what he did is he got us together, sat us down on a sofa. And my dad, you know, he's one of those guys, he doesn't weep easily. He's like a hard worker, you know. But he fell on his knees before us, and he began to weep. And he began to repent. And he began to say, sons, I'm sorry that I haven't shown you love. And you began to search for it in other places. It's my fault. Sons, I apologize for anything that I have given to you. And you're looking for other places, but I want to be the one that is there for you. I want to be present in your lives. My two older brothers, yes, I was young, but that memory will stick with me for the rest of my life. One of my brothers, he ran into his room. He shut the door. He moved his furniture, blocked the door, and just began to weep. My second brother, he ran into the bathroom. He closed the door, and he locked himself, and he was wailing. And my mom, she's the worry type, and she's like, please don't do anything with yourself. Please open the door. And like, I want to see that you're okay. But they're weeping. It was a moment when my dad just cleaned some things up in our house. Can I tell you, after that conversation, my brothers never came home late again. They love the Lord, and they serve the Lord to this day. All have wonderful families. So the second type of sinners are those that get lost because, you know, there's some hypocrisy in the house. And instead of blaming them, What we actually need to do is just maybe do some repentance in our hearts, check our hearts, maybe apologize. And as we do that, the coin will be found. And then Jesus says, now there's a third type of sinner. And that's the prodigal son. I don't have time to read the whole story of the prodigal son, but you know the story of the prodigal son. The father was a really good father. Actually, Jesus compared his father to the heavenly father. So the prodigal son had a father who was amazing. The prodigal son had a father who didn't need to do some repentance. He was a loving father, right? And this prodigal son wasn't led away by some faulty image like the sheep. No, he knew the full truth. He knew he was loved. Yet when he looked at God's truth in the world, he went to his dad and said, "Dad, I love the world. I know you love me. I know the whole truth. I know the Bible's right. But you know what? I'm just going to rebel. And so please give me my inheritance." And he leaves. So the third type of sinners are those that have been loved. Those know the truth. But they themselves make a decision. You know what? I want nothing to do with this. And they leave. And Jesus says, you know how you reach the third type of sinner? I'm going to bring out a chair a little bit here. The third type of sinner, the way they reached, is the father with tears, just waiting in prayer. And this is sometimes the hardest one to reach, because you look at your neighbor. He got a fishing pole, he went fishing, found the son, and they're having a party. And you're like, "Man, what bait did you use? Let me try." And the more you try fishing, the more aggravated your son becomes. And you just come back, and you still wait. And then all of a sudden, you look at your other neighbor, and you look at them, they clean their house and they find the coin and they're having a festival. And you're like, "Man, I'm willing to confess my sins to anybody. I'm going to confess my sins to any bishop, like take it all. It's all right here. I mean, here I am. And what else can I do? I mean, do I need to confess my sins of my 10th generation back and 20th generation back?" And like, here I am. And you confess and you go to all the bishops and all the pastors And the more you try, like, I mean, you've tried it all. And sometimes people look at you like, no. Something must have been about your parenting that your kids left. And you're like, "I know I wasn't perfect, but I mean, I tried my best and I gave my love." And yet the son left. Sometimes this third sinner is the hardest, because this is the person that gets judged the most. It's like, "Come on, can't you just take him to some Ravi Zacharias conference? I heard he's speaking at Times Square soon." Can't you just, you know, and you're judged many times as if you're passive. Like, why are you sitting down passive? Go fishing. Go cleaning your house. Like, you know, "I've tried it all. And I guess all I have left to do is patiently wait." So the third type of sinners are those that are rebellious, that have know the truth, that have been loved, and they know that if they come back, their father will welcome them, will love on them. And the way you reach them is by waiting, by sowing tears, by sowing prayers, leaving the door open wide, putting up some signs, "We're always welcome back," and just waiting. And it's difficult. Some of you might know this family, but the president of Northwest University, it's a Bible college in the Northwest, was a couple by the name of Dewey and Aggie Hurst, for many years well-known in our community. Well, Aggie Hurst wrote a book about her family. Her parents were David and Swaya Flood. They were missionaries in Zaire. And as they felt called to a specific tribe in Zaire, Africa. And when they moved there, they began to try to get to know this tribe. And the chief, he came out and said, listen, we want to have nothing to do with you. If you show up here again, we'll kill you. You have no right to evangelize here. But deep inside their hearts, they felt like they were really called to Zaire, to this tribe. And so they found out, built a mud hut, like close by this tribe. And they felt like all they can do on a daily basis is wake up, lift their hands towards this tribe, and pray. And that's what they did. Well, eventually, what the tribe began to do is they began to send a little boy, 9, 10 years old, to them to exchange chicken for, you know, some things that they were offering. So this little boy, he was instructed not to talk to them. He would just run and bring him some chicken eggs in exchange for money or whatever it was. And for a while, that's all they had. Well, living in those conditions, Swaya, who became pregnant with Aggie, and while she was pregnant, she became sick with malaria as well. And she gave birth to Aggie, and within a couple days, she passed away. The father, David, got so discouraged that he came to his missions headquarters, and he said, you know what? Forget God, forget missions, forget this daughter of mine. I want nothing to do with God. I want nothing to do with you guys. Take this daughter. You stole my life. You destroyed my life. I'm leaving. So he gave up his daughter, Aggie, moved back to Europe, and became an alcoholic. Aggie was adopted by another missionary couple that eventually moved to Minnesota. And eventually she married Dewey Hurst, and they became the presidents of Northwest University. Well, David and Aggie Hurst, they were involved in the university for travel. And one year they were in Europe at a missionary conference. And they were reading a missionary article and saw a picture of a grave that was described to be their mother's grave at that conference. And when different people got up to share their testimony, somebody got up from Zaire and began to share how God is moving in Zaire. There's 110,000 Christians, and the Spirit of God is sweeping that nation. And in that conference, he stopped and he said, but I want you to tell me where it started for me. He says, I was a little boy, about 9, 10 years old, and there was a missionary couple living close by our tribe that was not allowed to come to us. He said, I would run to them, and I couldn't talk to them, but I would see them. I would see their love. I would see their care for one another, and then I'd run back. He says, I don't know what happened with this family. The mother died, and the grave is there by our tribe, but the father and the daughter moved away. I wish I could meet and tell them what happened. He says, as I grew up, I began to search for people that had the same kind of love, the same kind of care. And he found some Christians, and he became a believer. He became a pastor in his tribe, now a church with 600 members in that tribe. They began to plant churches all around them. You can read this in the book, The Testimony of Aggie Hurst. And so during this conference, Aggie hears this testimony. She runs up to this man, and they verify the stories. They verify the years. And she says to him, I'm that daughter. So this missionary and Aggie, they travel to Zaire. And they were met by that tribe leader who kicked that family out. Now he's a believer. And together with 600 members of that church, they walked to the gravesite of Aggie's mother. And there at the gravesite, this tribal leader, he opened the scriptures and he read Psalm 126:5. The scripture says, they who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now eventually Aggie, she traveled to Europe and looked for her dad. After several weeks of searching, she found him an alcoholic. He did not want to see her, but she tried. Daily she tried to get to him, to share what God has done, to share how God had heard the prayers and that there was fruit of their sowing. And eventually the father came to himself and repented, accepted the Lord before he passed away. But I share this example for those that are maybe in a season of waiting for your son or daughter, your neighbor, your parents, your sister, a co-worker. Sow in tears, because the scripture says you will reap with joy. As a church, as Bible college students, I think it's important to realize that there's three types of sinners, and we need to reach all three. And every one of them is reached differently. Now, some are tempted to, all you talk about is repentance and cleaning, and that's great. That's a third of the sinners. Some of you, all you want to talk about is evangelism, and you despise those that are waiting. Well, yeah, some need to be, you got to leave the 99 and go find them. Go find that lost sheep and bring him back. And a third of the sinners will be reached as we pray, as we sow with tears. We need to do all three. We need to pray, we need to evangelize, and we need to check our hearts and clean ourselves up from hypocrisy. And as we do all three, we'll reach the sinners of this county. And as a church, these are people that do a lot of pastoral care kind of stuff, right? Counseling. We need these people. These are the evangelists. We need the evangelist. These are the encouragers, the prayer warriors. We need them. Let's not despise one another, but see that all of us together are reaching different people, and the different types of sinners will be reached differently. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Within this body, we have these gifts. Some of you are more gifted towards evangelism. We want to bless you. We need you. We need you to bring back the lost sheep. We need you to have discernment. We need you to be able to leave everything behind and go. We need you to be gifted and talented and educated in apologetics and the truth. We need you to go. We need you to have different baits available. We need you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. How much we need the counselors, the people that can challenge others to correct some things in their lives. Do some pastoral care, because if we're not correcting ourselves, we're losing our own kids. They can't stand hypocrisy. It's one of the first things, the main things that drives people away from church when they see hypocrisy, when they see, you know, people saying one thing and doing another. And so we need some good counselors that can be truthful. And we need prayer warriors. And we need to stand by those that weep and pray. Stand with them. Don't throw rocks at them. Just come stand behind them, you know. Just encourage them. Just encourage them to sow. Weep with them. Weep with them. That's not your opportunity to talk about the different baits. I mean, if they've tried it all is left to do is just to stand and weep together. May we as a church be strong doing all three. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning. First and foremost, we want to have the heart of the Father towards the sinners. Father, help us to not look at sinners as something that to gripe about, to be upset about. Help us to have the heart of a father towards them. just like you showing these parables. Well, Father, I pray today that these different giftings in your body are activated. Father, I pray that the pastors are going to love the evangelists. The evangelists are going to love the prayer warriors. The prayer warriors are going to love the pastors. And we'll love one another because we need each other. All of us together with our different gifts, we're going to bring them back. It's going to take all of us working in our own gifting to reach the lost of our cities and our communities. Father, today I want to bless the evangelists in this room. May they walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may they know what word to be to speak. Father, may they know where to go. But because many times when the sheep get lost, it's a short season. It's a short time when they got to be found. So I pray that our evangelists walk under the unction of the Holy Spirit with clarity and guidance from you to go and find them and bring them back. In Jesus' mighty name, anoint the evangelists in this room, Lord. Father, we pray for the counselors in this room, for the people that have that gifting. Lord, give them boldness to speak the truth. Give them boldness to correct sometimes. Give them boldness, Father, to bring clarity and cleanliness into the areas where the lost coins could be. Father, bless our counselors. Bless those people that are gifted in pastoral care, whether it's in small groups or one-on-one, Father, just meeting and challenging and encouraging each other, Lord. Bless us, these men and women, with that gift. And Father, today we weep with those that weep because they have a prodigal son or daughter. They've tried everything. Father, help us as a church to love these people better, to stand with them and weep with them. Because as we weep with them, we'll rejoice with them when the day of salvation does come. Father, help us to be better prayer warriors. Because some sinners, Lord, we can try it all, Lord, but they will only come back, Lord, unless your Holy Spirit draws them back to yourself. Father, activate your church. Activate your church to do the work of the ministry, to preach your word to the lost. Jesus, you came to seek and save the lost. Help us, Father, to do the same in our midst. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
What a powerful word that we can all relate to. Amen. Really practical. And if you're in this place, I would love to give you this opportunity to join me here up front. Whatever situation you're in, if God spoke to your heart, I would like to give you this opportunity. Either for a heart even to love sinners, not to judge, but to embrace them too. Not be okay with the sin, but have a passion for the sinner and love them the way Jesus loves them. We're going to sing one more song. And if you're here today, if you are in a hurry, you're more than welcome to go. Nobody's going to think nothing of it. But if you want to spend a few moments here with us and in this quietness, you don't have to scream, you don't have to shout, just in the quietness of the heart. In the quietness, Elijah heard the voice of the Lord. If you're here, join me here up front and we'll pray together after the song. I just have in my heart to give opportunity for those that have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As we continue to pray, and if you're here today, don't be ashamed. If we can all close our eyes, please don't look around. We can close our eyes. And if you're here that you never committed your life to the Lord, then what does it mean? It's just acknowledging that you're a sinner and saying, God, I believe in you. I believe in you that you are the Christ that came to die for my sin and took the penalty for me. And I confess it with my mouth that you are Lord and get grounded to the word of God. Believe in him. You're saved. If you pray this prayer with me. So if you're here, everybody close your eyes, please, and raise your hand. Raise your hand nice and tall so we can see and pray for you. If you're here, they want to give your life to Christ. As you heard, in the message. Let's lift our hands and pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Pray with me, guys. Pray with me, church. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this
day. We thank you that you're a good shepherd.
We thank you that you're a good shepherd.
That you left the heavens to come and find me.
To come and find me.
Jesus, I thank you.
Jesus, I thank you.
That you left the riches that you had.
That you left the riches that you had.
And you put us above those riches.
And you put us above those riches.
Because you loved us so much. Give us the grace now.
Give us the grace now.
To reach to others.
To reach out to others.
The way you reached out to us.
The way you reached out to us.
Help us.
Help us.
To see people.
To see people.
The way you see them.
The way that you see them.
Clear our vision.
Clear our vision.
For us to see people.
For us to see people.
Not as trees.
Not as trees.
Not as objects.
Not as objects.
But touch us one more time.
Touch us one more time.
So we can see them the way you see them.
So
help us,
help us
to love them,
to love them
and to bring them to you.
And to bring them to you.
Help us,
help us
to play our part in the body of Christ.
Play our part in the body of Christ.
Because we are responsible to impact people around us. We love you today.
We love you today.
And we praise you.
And we praise
in
you.
Jesus' name we pray.
Name.
Amen. Let's just give him a shout of praise because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. He is good. Amen. It is a good day to be alive. It is a good day to have hope in Him. Because God still saves people. And He is still miraculous. And He still does miracles. May God bless you guys. Join us for dinner downstairs or for lunch, as we say, if you can. If you have plans, may God bless you. Be with you. And see you on Thursday evening and next Sunday. God bless you guys. If you want to stay here, hang around, especially just say a few words to our guests, you're more than welcome to do that. May God bless you.